Blockchain Association backs Genius Act stablecoin ID rules. The Blockchain Association has thrown its support behind the stablecoin identity verification rules proposed under the Genius Act, arguing that issuers should only be required to verify the customers they deal with directly, rather than every party that later holds or moves the token. The position was reported on August 26, 2026, and stakes out an early industry stance on one of the more consequential questions in U.S. stablecoin oversight: how deep into a token's life a compliance obligation should reach. The distinction sounds technical. It is not. It sets the perimeter of who has to run Know Your Customer checks, and it decides whether stablecoins can keep functioning like cash once they leave the issuer's hands. Direct customer verification versus chasing every wallet a stablecoin issuer sells tokens to a first buyer. That buyer might be an exchange, a market maker, or a large corporate treasury. From there, the token can pass through hundreds of wallets, get bridged to other chains, sit in a DeFi pool, or land in a card user's balance before it is ever redeemed. The Blockchain Association's argument is that the issuer's verification duty should stop at that first, direct relationship. Under this reading, an issuer knows and vets the entity it onboards and the entity that eventually redeems, but it is not responsible for identifying every intermediate holder along the way. That mirrors how banks treat physical cash. The bank verifies its account holder, not every stranger who later receives one of those bills. The alternative, which the group is pushing back against, would treat an issuer as accountable for the identity of downstream holders it never transacts with. That model would force either constant on-chain surveillance or a permission system where tokens can only move between pre-approved addresses. Either outcome would strip stablecoins of the open transferability that makes them useful as a payment rail. The compliance cost is the real fight. Behind the legal framing is a straightforward question of who pays. Verifying only direct customers keeps the KYC burden with the party that already has an onboarding relationship. Pushing verification downstream would spread costs across the entire chain of custody, and in practice, could make issuers liable for activity several transfers removed from anything they controlled. That matters for the products built on top of stablecoins. Payment apps, wallets, and stablecoin spending cards rely on tokens moving freely between users without a fresh identity check at every hop. A tighter downstream standard would either raise costs for those services or force them into a whitelisted address model that resembles a closed bank network more than an open ledger. The Genius Act framework, which set federal ground rules for payment stablecoins, left implementation details to rulemaking. This consultation is where those details get decided, and the direct customer standard is the industry's opening bid on where the line should sit. Timing against a busy stablecoin week, the comment lands during a stretch of heavy stablecoin policy activity. World Liberty Financial recently secured an OCC trust charter for its USD1 stablecoin, and the OCC's broader charter pipeline has drawn a wave of digital asset applicants. Regulators are moving from principles to operating rules, and the verification perimeter is one of the first hard edges to get drawn. Markets were not reacting to the policy news directly. As of August 26, 2026, Bitcoin traded near $78,361, down 0.8% on the day, with Ethereum at $24,37 and the broader market cooling after a sharp weekly run. The Fear and Greed Index sat at 80, still in extreme greed territory. Stablecoin regulation tends to move on legislative and rulemaking calendars rather than price action. So the significance here is structural, not a same-day catalyst. Practical stakes for stablecoin users. For someone holding or spending a dollar peg token, the direct customer standard is the outcome that preserves the current experience. It keeps stablecoins transferable between ordinary wallets without a new verification wall at each step, and it keeps the compliance load on the entities already positioned to carry it, the issuer and the redeeming party. A downstream verification regime would push in the opposite direction. It would favor permission tokens, raise friction for peer-to-peer transfers, and concentrate more identity data collection across the ecosystem. That has direct consequences for the self-custody spending model, where users move stablecoins from their own wallets to a card without an intermediary rechecking identity on every transaction. Nothing is settled. A trade group's endorsement is one input into a consultation, not a final rule, and regulators can land anywhere between the two poles. The number to watch is where the final standard fixes the verification perimeter, because that single line will shape whether U.S. stablecoins behave more like open cash or like a closed whitelisted payment network.